Well, I don't know whether you enjoy Christmas. I want to fast forward to the new year. And it's with much discipline. I'm singing these carols and wanting to get back again to hymns that are full of the gospel. We'll sing the last carol, which is more full of the gospel than many hymn. What keeps me sane at this time of year is that we have such a glorious message to remember at Christmas time. It's worth it. Apart from that, I would be in sympathy with Oliver Cromwell in banning Christmas, not because I'm a killjoy, but because of all the trimmings. Now, please don't take the wrong way what I've just said, but bearing that in mind about this message that we've got to consider, I want you to turn, if you've got a Bible, to Matthew chapter 1. And some very well-known words. Verse 21 in Matthew chapter 1. This is the message of the angel, not to Mary, but to Joseph. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, what is the message that we're going to be looking at this Christmas time? What's the grand theme? Well, it's about saving something. That's what we're on about every time of the year. But at Christmas time, we're especially concentrating on the coming of Jesus Christ into this world to save something. Now, whatever your background tonight, you should be familiar with the concept of saving. Because we've had the Copenhagen summits in the last few days, which has been talking about saving the planet. And if we could put it like this, that's the issue of the day. We're all supposed to be getting on with saving the planet. Now, I haven't got a bad word to say about that. I don't want people to think that I'm some flat earther when it comes to man-made global warming. We are responsible to look after this earth. We're to be good stewards. So let's be green. But what I want to talk about tonight is something else. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world is about saving something far more important than this planet. Now, let's talk about that first. Now, if Copenhagen was a big deal, you had such coverage in the newspapers of it. You had all the nations of the world gathered there, including the great presidents, the President of the United States, the President of China. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's far more vital than saving the planet. What's that? Your soul. How can that be more important than the planet? I'm living on this earth. If this earth is going to be destroyed, I'm going to be destroyed as well. Yes, your body is, but your soul is going to live forever. That's why the soul is the thing that we need to concentrate on. Now, you may disagree with me as to whether you have a soul, but I'm simply here as a messenger. I'm not here to have an argument with you. I'm not that clever. I'm just a mouthpiece of the message of God in the Bible. And from beginning to end in the scriptures, one thing comes through. You have a soul that is never ending, and that needs to be saved. Now, that's why it's more important than the physical world. however this world will end, and it won't end by global warming. God will end it. And one day, before the world will end, maybe, you will have to die. But your soul will still exist. Now, can I just try and reason with you if you're not convinced of the importance of the soul? You know, I'm a person who is always asking questions, and when it comes to global warming and saving the planet, I just want to know, what hard evidence have you got that man-made global warming is causing the rise in temperature? Can you give me facts? Because I read of some scientists who say the opposite to what those who believe in global warming are saying. So I need facts. And I don't want dodgy emails. I want hard evidence. Let's forget about the planet and about the soul and the need to save the soul. Have you facts that prove to me that I'm in need of saving? Well, I'll just give you one fact, and it's an undeniable fact. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Death wasn't meant to be part of the creation. God made this world and the whole universe perfect. It was all very good. But sin came in. What's sin? Oh, forgive me for using this illustration. It's man-made emissions. It's not come from God. It's from us. We are all responsible when we sin. We put our fist up to God. We may say that he doesn't exist. That's sin. We break his law. That's sin. We just go our own way, however much we know, that sin. And it creates, as it were, emissions that cause us to be under the wrath of God. And the consequence of that is death. That's my evidence. If there's no death, then take it or leave it in terms of sin. But how do you deal with death? What's your answer for it? The wages of sin is death. And the strength of sin is the law. But all you need to know tonight is that death is in the world because of these man-made emissions, sin. And this is the important thing. If nothing happens, you're going after death to an eternity of death. That's what hell is. Being under the judgment of God forever and forever with no means of escape. Even if you're a skeptic tonight, and there is such a thing as man-made global warming, and this planet is going to be destroyed, then, according to your view, that's the end. But if what the Bible teaches is true, and that there is a soul that goes on forever, and that there is a place called hell, then, my friend, you're in a worse position. Was it Blaise Pascal who put it like this? He called it Pascal's wager. I know it's a bit of philosophizing, but it has its uses. You see, I'm a Christian, and I'm better off than you who are not Christians, whatever happens. If you're right, then I'm just going to die anyway. Who cares? But if I'm right, you're in a terrible mess. Now, that's the first thing I want to say about this saving of the soul. It's the most important thing in the world. Sunday evening after Sunday evening, I'm going to be waxing eloquently about your need for this salvation. If I'm going to be going round like an old record, so be it. This is what matters. So can I ask you, are you saved? Is your soul safe? Do you know where you're going after eternity? Are you still in your sin? Or has something happened to you that has saved you from it? Now let's move on to a second thing about this saving of the soul. Its importance, yes. But secondly, its certainty, effectiveness. I don't know how title the second head. Look at this message. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I don't know if you've been watching the Copenhagen summit, but all the disagreement. There was no consensus at the end as to the way forward to stop global warming. I read in one newspaper that the leaders of some of the richest nations who really wanted to cut man-made emissions, they simply had a secret meeting together because they were getting so frustrated with the lack of agreements. Oh, how different to the plan of saving the soul. This is effective, and you know why? We're not in it. Whenever we're part of something, it falls apart. That's human nature for you. Can I talk to you about a summit that took place, not in Copenhagen, but in eternity? Before you were ever created, before this world was made, before there was ever talk of global warming, there was a summit. And there were three persons in this summit: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And their one theme was saving souls. And how did this summit end? Was there a consensus? Oh, yes. God the Father agreed to do certain things. He agreed to choose a people that would be saved. God the Son agreed to come down into this world in time to be the Savior and to do all that was necessary to deal with these emissions of sins. And God the Holy Spirit agreed that in the process of time he would touch individuals and cause them to believe in the Son as their Savior, so that their souls would be saved and that they would know this wonderful salvation. That's a summit worth talking about in eternity. Now, what we have in this verse is the concentrating on God the Son becoming a Savior. 2,000 years ago, the second person of the Trinity. Imagine that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 100% divine. Leaving the courts of heaven and coming down. How far down? Down to the depths of humanity. Becoming a man. 100% human. Jesus was born. You know, there was a notice during the millennium. The millennium is Christ's birthday. Rubbish! Christ, the everlasting King. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. The man. Now, I can't explain this. Our minds can't take it in. But all I want to say is this. God and man joined together in one person. Jesus Christ, there's a sufficient Savior for you. Barack Obama can't do that. Jesus Christ came, as we heard this afternoon, to save sinners. And you know, it's not like the Copenhagen summit, where there's talk about trying to reduce the global temperature. Imagine we, as nations, trying to bring the temperature down. It seems ridiculous. You can take that from a physical geographer. Even if it's possible, it's a target that seems so far-fetched. But what was the aim of this mission? It was none other than this: to save immortal souls. And note the words here: thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall, not make possible, shall. He accomplished it. He did the impossible. What was that? He lived a perfect life, not once sinning. There was no emissions at all. Here was a man that pleased God in absolutely everything. When they had to accuse him, they had to bring forth false accusers. They couldn't lay a finger on him. And then he died a perfect death. He didn't have to die, you know. He hadn't done anything wrong. But he died in our place, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Condemned he stood. I can no longer say that he died for you in a general sense. In my place, condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a saviour. Because he's the spotless lamb. Because God, in punishing him, punishing the Son of God, has an infinite list of sins to deal with. Yet he's an infinite person. And there's infinite worth in his blood. And he can wash the foulest clean. This is worth shouting about. What man cannot do, it would take an infinite number of summits. God did in this one act of sending Christ into this world. You know, he's often described as our substitute. I was never any good at football in school, and I was always relieved if somebody came on as a substitution for me, because I would play football as they do in American football, where when you see the ball going one way, you run the other way. Oh, what a relief to have a substitute, to do what I couldn't do. And that's all Jesus Christ did. That's the gospel in a nutshell. He died, me no more die. He lived the perfect life in my place. So this plan to save you a soul is effective. No ifs or buts. It's all according to plan. Even to this very moment in time, that there are no delays. Unlike man's efforts, there'll have to be another summit in another part of the world to cut down global emissions. But God doesn't have to do that. Even the fact of you being here tonight is a part of that plan. You're meant to hear this gospel tonight. That's the attention to detail that God has. And nothing stopped the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. It was the lowest period in Jewish history. They no longer had their own land. They were under the bondage of the Roman Empire. It seemed impossible that this long-awaited Messiah should come. And yet, when the fullness of the times came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. Not even Herod, the official ruler, could stop him. It doesn't matter how bad you are tonight. It doesn't matter how many obstacles there are in front of you. The fact that we're living in a post-Christian nation where people don't know the Christmas story, that doesn't stop God from causing Christ to come into your hearts. It's completely effective. And then one more thing. It's universal. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to tell you this. Not everybody will be saved. I hope this won't be the case, but possibly not everybody in this room tonight will be in heaven. How can I say then that it's universal? Well, it's like this. He shall save his people from their sin. Everyone who's his will be saved. No one will be left out. You know, that's so different from man's way of doing things. Again, in Copenhagen, you have the rich nations with all the technology and the funds to be able to cut down carbon emissions. And then you have the third world countries who can't do it without aid from the West. It's so unfair. It's not universal. But when it comes to the salvation of your soul, then we're all on the same level. And what you've got to ask is this: how do I become his people so that I can be saved? A few negatives. You're not born into his family. God has only one natural son, and that's Jesus Christ. You've got to be adopted. No one is born a Christian. If that's what you're relying on, if all you can say to me is that you were born like that, you're outside still. And your soul is still in sin. Another negative. Church attendance won't make you belong to his people. Now, it's a good thing to be in a church, but it's a dangerous place to be as well. You know, your name can be on the members list, but not in the Lamb's Book of Life. The fact that you're in this service does not make you a Christian. Why am I putting it like this? For this reason, it's possible to think of evangelism and outreach as simply trying to get people to come to church. And so you have churches in America especially going to ridiculous lengths to attract them. And so what do you do? Well, if people like going to the cinema on a Sunday night, the answer is quite straightforward. You have the cinema in the church. If people like to go to McDonald's during free time, well, all you do is have a McDonald's as part of the church, not that we're going to have one next door. No, being in the church does not make you one of the family. It's a good place to be in. If you want to get knocked down, you stand in the middle of the road. Very good, don't do it. But if you want to be saved, you're in the right place tonight. But don't rely on the fact that you're here. Being born into a Christian home won't make you part of his people. I never had that privilege. You children and young people and older people who were born in an evangelical household, you had such privileges to hear the gospel from infancy, to see godly lives. But it won't make you a member of the family. And certainly, this doesn't have to be said, but I'll say it. Being a British citizen won't make you a Christian. People used to think like that a long, long time ago, when this country was supposed to be a Christian country. You know, this is the universality of the Christian gospel. If you're in a Muslim country, then people think you are a Muslim. They can't understand why missionaries preach the gospel to Muslims in Muslim countries. That's Christianity for you. There is no country in the world that's Christian. It's people coming from every nation, universal. How do I become his child? Well, that's why I read from John chapter 1. The answer is so succinct. As many as what? Received him. To them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Now, this is where another word for believing is so helpful. Belief is reception. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what it is to trust him. What's that? Well, where do I begin? Having said some unkind words about our English carols, I better make amends before I finish. What is it to receive him? Well, have you prayed this? O holy child of Bethlehem, descend not just to us, but to me, I pray. Cast out my sin, these emissions, and enter in, be born in me today. That's what it is to believe in Jesus Christ. Can I give you another example? We sung last Sunday evening these words. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. It's empty. I cannot save my soul. I've tried. I'm miserable as a result of it. I've become religious, and it's not giving my guilty conscience peace. I come to the services here, and I want more. Lord, I've got nothing. It's empty. There was a time when I tried relying on things, but you've taken them away, and I'm just going to fall into your kind arms. That's what it is to believe in him. And the moment you do that, you are saved. One hymn puts it so well. The vilest offender, no matter how bad you've been, whoever believes, that moment, there's no delay, that moment, as soon as your hand clasps the Saviour, that moment, a pardon receives. What happens? This is the best Christmas gift you'll ever have. I'm forgiven, past, present, future, all blotted out as if I'd never sinned. And then he clothes me in the righteousness of Christ, so I'm beautiful in his sight. Not even Adam in paradise had positive righteousness. Now I'm in a better state than my parents were in the Garden of Eden. I'm no longer hankering back to Eden. I've got something better now. And I am adopted into this family. Not even Adam had that right. I'm not just an adopted child, but a son. My brother is Jesus Christ. My judge is my father. And he has given me so many rights in this life. His word to guide me. His spirit to comfort me. Everything that I stand in need of, he is going to provide. And then the best is yet to come. Global warming, maybe. Maybe this world will end in fire. It will, the Bible says. But I'm going to escape from that. And I'm going home to glory. And there the story's only going to begin. I'm going to spend eternity. No longer separated from my Saviour. But not in faith, but in a real way, seeing him and living in him, in his presence, serving him. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. This is the thing that needs to be saved. More than the planets, your soul. God has done everything in Christ. Are you one of those who's going to be saved? Believe in him without delay. And this Christmas time, may you receive the best gift of all for his name's sake. Amen.